The blessings of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Saha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Saha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Sangham Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Saha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo Prajna Paramita Hridaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the anchors of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha, homage to all who are approaching this holy path, homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts, the precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibitive precepts, not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so, not to take that which is not given, not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct, not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority, not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so, not to publish other people's faults, not to extol oneself and slander others, not to be avaricious in bestowal of the teachings, not to be angry, not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana, in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy blessed day. Oh, happy blessed place. Oh, happy blessed time. Oh, happy blessed path. Oh, happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here, in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma. And I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutiyampi tatiyampi saha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
Anyone else has the experience, but this meditation seemed like it lasted about 2 or 3 minutes.
Uh-huh.
Very unusual. It's very nice to actually hear the bell and I guess I've always believed that a bell is like a call to mindfulness, but it's also kind of a, what I found today, it's kind of a measure. How long can you hear the vibration?
Stay with it.
Stay with it.
Yeah.
And so often, you know, I'm just starting out here after being away for a while, and it's almost like the bell is a prize fight with conditioning, you know? Mm-hmm. Come out for round one, and and I'm a lightweight, and, you know, I'm fighting a super heavyweight, you know? And it was just nice to be able to hear the birds, to be with what is. And it's like, it's hard to explain. It's not the will to have awareness, it's just like the opposite of will, surrender.
Yeah, it's such a paradox, isn't it? Yeah.
There's gotta be the willingness, but then
right.
The willingness to surrender.
That's right. So there's gotta be that willingness, and when the will gets involved, that often kind of gets in our way, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So that surrender to it is really what allows the, I think what you're describing, that awareness and actually being here and hearing the bell and staying with it and hearing the birds. And
I realize that there's also a certain amount of, you know, in training, I've always associated it with spiritual or mental or emotional, but physical is a big one also.
Yes.
And part of me believed, you know, I've worked so long with these kids, 10 years, who have all this emotional, and the psychologist might say, oh, you still got their trauma in your emotional body, blah, 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 blah. And so the last 6 months I've been a couch potato.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
I go to the health club maybe twice a week, but I meditate 3 times a day, but it's when I want to. And, you know, I just do a little gardening. Coming here, you guys work more one day than I do in a week. I remember the old army, we do more before 9. You know, if you guys ever advertised, that would be perfect. Perfect motto. We do more before 9 than... But what I noticed is, in taking the Enneagram class, sevens are supposed to be averse to looking at pain.
Mm-hmm.
And I find it ironic that I've been living with back pain for, you know, 50 years and chose to work with these kids who it's all about emotional pain for them.
Mm-hmm.
Anger and fear and not being loved. And
so maybe seeing a little bit of that karma of being averse to looking at pain.
Yeah, to throw myself into it. You know, or else having myself thrown into it. And it's amazing how much, when there's discomfort, that takes about 90% of my attention.
When there's discomfort, it takes 90%.
And a lot of the time, the first, you know, yesterday was particularly difficult. Mm. And, you know, I'm doing something, I'm trying to concentrate on breathing and the task and just being here. But the sensations are so overwhelming at times that, like yesterday, I was just saying, okay, just get through today. Mm-hmm. 20 more days. Mm-hmm. Get through today. You can do it. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't kind. You know, it was like up in hell.
Yeah, that's so important to see, isn't it? Just get through it. Just survive today. That's not actually helping me in this situation. That's not what I really need, is it?
No. Mm-hmm. And you know, part of it is I can actually feel there's a bulging disc and I'm doing things to help it. But then the muscles also tighten up around it.
Sure.
And then that tightening, yeah. And then the mind tightens. It's like all one
exactly.
thing.
Yeah.
And but even when I try to relax the mind, you know, it's mm-hmm. just really a chronic thing. So I've got to be aware of it, take care of it. Mm-hmm. And what I'm noticing, though, is just being here and doing this physical work, it's helping in meditations. It is helping in everything. Uh-huh. And when the core gets stronger and everything gets able to support the back, so that I'm not always worried about, oh, is this a day going to be, I'm in agony all day long, you know? Is it going to be one of the get through the day today? Or is it going to be, wow, listen to that prayer. I never heard that prayer before. Mm-hmm. Or, you know.
Yeah, it reminds me of that place that we talk about where what conditioning always wants to do is to look forward, you know, and not necessarily in the sense of look forward to, but looking forward. Sort of, is how is this day going to go? Oh, it's probably going to. Oh, and we're stuck right from the beginning.
Yeah.
If that's where our attention is, right? But instead, that attention on, first of all, I don't know. I truly don't know. And then the only place that's really helpful, especially in a scenario that you're talking about, is to have the attention here, mm-hmm. right here in this moment. Checking in with right now, what's mm-hmm. needed right now. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's been very helpful. I'm noticing that you know, when the voices aren't around, it's just pure awareness. It's bliss. Mm-hmm. It's not even neutral. It's just it's neutral, but there's so much joy in it. It's
Yeah, it reminds me of that, what Jerry will often say. When we stop doing everything else, there's the joy, there's the bliss, there's the well-being, that's what is. And then all of this other stuff that we get distracted by covers that over, obscures the experience of that.
Yeah, it's really, the sunsets now are just...
oh my gosh, that's an amazing sunset.
And just to watch the alpenglow, so the sun's over here, there's a ridge over here, and you can see it turns yellow, it turns different colors, hues, you get beige, and it's exquisite. And the sunset is, there's a tree right in front of me, so it almost looks like a little ball of fire with burning twigs.
Yeah.
It's spectacular.
Wow.
And then it's amazing how every few minutes you hear different sounds. Certain birds, then other certain birds, then squirrels, then finally when it's just about dark, the crickets come out. And just sitting there for half an hour, I was blissed out, you know. blissed out. And then I collapsed in my bed, you know. I'm sleeping like 11 hours, you know. I just get exhausted at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. I'm just listening to the body, and then I'm sure it won't, you know, I won't require that much sleep. I just might get into a little bit, losing a little Richard here, and it feels good. You know, it feels good to kind of get into shape.
Yeah, and it's that interesting sort of balance, isn't it, as you describe that, you know, physical is such an important part of the practice. I mean, it's an important part of our existence because, again, it's all one thing. We're so used to thinking of there's the body and then there's the mind and, you know, they influence each other, but they're different, but not, right? Yeah. And that physicality, I mean, the one that I always think of is Sherry talking about, you know, if you've got someone who's depressed, get them moving.
Mm-hmm.
That's a huge piece of of what's required. And so that physicality is so important, and that strength that begins to happen when we're moving the body in ways that it's designed to move.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, psychologists will say just exercise before they give anybody a medication. Right. They start them in an exercise. And with the kids, we run.
They run,
you know, 3 miles every other day, and they're doing exercises all day, and they're playing sports.
Yeah.
And it really helps them.
Right. And then we forget, as, you know, the adults or the whatever, to do the same thing.
Right.
There's that sense of... So then really having that experience for yourself, and just that critical piece of kindness as we're making a transition like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you described it as couch potato. So,
I drew it in the book too, you know, the...
the potato sitting on the couch.
Yeah, I had to look at the picture because I can't, you know, my father was an artist. I didn't inherit that, but...
You know what reminds me of? I was visiting a friend a while back, and she's having a challenge in her life, and so she's seeing that same thing, the physicality, that how important that is. And she's got this app that's called something like Couch to 5K. you can choose kind of this thing, and it walks you through day by day. You have a coach on the app that, you know, you press play, and it takes you off when you're and tells you when to walk, and now it's time to walk, now you run for a minute, now you, you know, so it takes you really through a tiny step by tiny step by tiny step thing.
Yeah.
And it just occurs to me how critical that is, that piece of attention that you're talking about, to have the awareness expanded enough to get it that, yes, maybe there, what will support the body is to lose some weight, to become more physical, to get stronger, and it's a process.
Yeah.
And so we need to really pay attention, and that critical piece of communication along the way, you know, knowing when I need assistance, knowing when to ask for help, knowing for, so that we're not sort of on our own just making the body do this thing.
Yeah. And at home, I've been doing things that aren't really supportive, I realize now. I mean, I go to the club and I'll get on a bike. I'm like, oh, I go for 2 hours. I get on a bike for half an hour, then I do like 12 Nautilus for half an hour, then I do yoga for half an hour, then I do sauna and steam. I realize if I cut, the Nautilus is doing nothing but tightening up my back.
Gosh, it's so good to see those things.
They have a swim pool. I could swim and do more yoga and just swim. Yeah. I don't need to be. And then I was taking whey protein because they say every after 40 you turns to fat in men. Every, you know, 1% fat muscle turns to fat. And I'm thinking, I don't want to be a real couch potato. So I started taking this whey protein, and that too. I put on like 15 pounds, and some of it was muscle, and then some of it was here, and I don't need that.
It's paying attention, isn't it?
Yeah.
To all of it. Because, I mean, my goodness, you know, health, parenting, money, you could read a billion different books with a billion different approaches. And so just that place of, you know, all we can really do is to pay attention to our own bodies, our own experience. You know, we're the only ones who kind of have that inside perspective.
Yeah.
And so really paying attention at that micro level, and again, that kindness for ourselves as we go through it.
Yeah, I'm really, really grateful to all the monks here and everybody here, because, I mean, my hermitage is everything in there that I need, and anything. I mean, you guys are so patient with me, because forgetting where things used to go, not knowing where some of the things are now that are new, and then even telling me, you know, the senioritis, you'll tell me something and the next day I'll forget it, you know. So I really appreciate the kindness that everyone has shown me.
Well, and you know, that's so great, Rich, a couple of things about that. One, of course, owning the projection, right? That seeing that kindness and that patience that you're experiencing, knowing that that's a process that you're experiencing internally and that you can really use in this process.
Yes.
Because I project that human, boy, that patience as he makes that transition is everything. And just, you know, for all of us, well, in practice in general, but specifically in the monastic setting, we've all been there. We all know, you know, all those places. And so the great gift for all of us, because, of course, working with this person, whoever this person is, for you it's Rich, for me it's Jen, for, you know, whatever, is the biggest challenge. So getting to experience with one another to practice that patience and that kindness, and then getting to help to bring it back here is such a gift.
Mm-hmm. It is a gift.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I've been looking at pain too, and it's really been a very wonderful workshop. Sherry talked about it with Lori, I think it was on Project Joy a while back, when she was talking about how, you know, her experience.
Shoulder
that came up to the head. And so a couple of things that I wanted to explore. One is, so yesterday I had this horrible headache. Mm-hmm. Ever since probably around, I don't know, 11 on, a.m. on. Mm-hmm. And it was so intense and constant that I wasn't sure I was going to be able to work in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of got with the, well, we'll see.
Yes.
We'll see.
Yes.
You know, and just doing the next thing,
yeah.
Not doing that looking forward thing. And my experience was, and I know from so many times that getting the body moving, and it just helps practically everything.
Yes.
And so that was, I think, where the faith to say just, well, we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
And so I noticed that while we were working, I didn't even, the pain wasn't in my awareness, or it wasn't there, I don't know which.
Right.
And then as soon as we unloaded and put everything away, there it was.
Yeah,
and I just had this, did it go away, or did the tension just come back to it, or did the movement stop, and
right.
So the, and you know, just that,
I don't know,
place, right,
yeah. Uh-huh.
It was just so fascinating, and so then the workshop continued with some other pain that I've been seeing and practicing with and having for some time.
Mm-hmm.
And throughout the day and night, and what I saw, you know, it's one of those 3 a.m. insights that you record, and then I kind of want to look at it in the light of day and see, did that make any sense whatsoever? But I was seeing how pain keeps the identity, keeps their an identity in place.
Mm.
And and it was like this, like, I have been practicing with it in this way. I want to hear and really be receptive to what the body is telling me,
mm-hmm.
and be sensitive to what the body is saying,
mm-hmm.
but it's the to me.
Mm-hmm.
What is the body telling, saying to me,
me.
That I'm now suddenly suspicious of?
Uh-huh. So it feels like that, so there's been a process of, gosh, I really want to hear what the body is saying. And then it dropped in that the insight of, but it's to me, feels like it might be keeping an identity in place.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Because then something someone said in group a long time ago came up, which was, and I don't really remember, but here's mm-hmm. the image, was that they had read in a book or something that we're just particles that are passing through,
uh-huh.
you
yeah.
know?
Yeah, yeah.
And so if the pain are, it's like this configuration of particles is what's here now.
Right.
And if I kind of become a solidified me that is now trying to interpret those pain particles
right,
and to
right.
maybe get rid of, shoo them away, or
right.
do something that makes them not so intense, or whatever, it establishes a me.
It establishes a me who has that pain and has a relationship with that pain. He wants to shoo it away or make it less intense.
Uh-huh.
Or
That was the 3 a.m. part that it felt really weird, and I'm not sure, but you know, it made any sense.
Uh-huh.
But that's not to, also to negate that there is somebody experiencing this.
Yeah, yeah. Well, because it's interesting. It's back to one of the fundamental teachings of the Buddha, right? There is pain,
mm-hmm.
right? That doesn't necessitate suffering,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, if we were to extrapolate things we often talk about, we could say that the suffering is very likely where the identity is maintained,
mm-hmm.
but it isn't necessarily the, you know, being in human form as a sentient being and the pain, maybe that doesn't have to,
mm-hmm.
you know, solidify that identity.
Yeah, and what's dropping in as you're saying that is what that gives rise to is the opportunity to experience being human who has these sensations in a totally different way than I would have ever imagined before.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah. I don't know if this is sort of what you're seeing with the book. What dropped in was that place that we talk about of not taking it personally.
Mm-hmm.
So in that same way that when we see a creature, you know, human or otherwise, in pain, there's sort of there's a natural response to that. There's I don't know if you use the word natural, but, you know, sort of a whatever that is, like a compassion. A heart opening. Uh-huh. And so to have that same relationship with, my pain, that maybe it isn't mine, it's this, you know, passing through these particles that are configured in this way. And,
and to get to see one's own kind of karmic response to it, in juxtaposition to that, what you just laid out, helpful. Because I was just remembering how I sort of had been looking at it. So most of the pain is like on the left side. And I had been sort of looking at it as this is the troublemaker side, you know? And so these are the terrorists and they act up, you know, and then they do this. So now we gotta understand.
And now everyone has to deal with it.
And all the attention goes there, and this part's fine. Everybody's fine over here. They're just living their lives, but we got these terrorists over here that are doing what they do, you know. And then the pain would go to the right. It's like, oh no, it's spreading. How do we deal with this? You know, and that's the whole kind of worldview that I've been so conditioned to is how do we deal with these troublemakers, the trouble, you know?
Wow.
And so just to see that and juxtaposed to this other whole possibility. Is nice.
The other whole possibility being?
Just particles passing through and just heart opening and who we know and who knows what? Like the heavy thing.
I don't know.
Gosh,
it's so interesting. You know, when you were first talking about that in the beginning of that during working meditation, it wasn't there. I had a memory of years ago, one of the resident monks talking about being in his hermitage, and it was freezing, freezing cold, you know, just one of those cold, cold nights. And then he was changing into his pajamas or whatever and got distracted by something. Like, I think started reading something or something like that. And stood there for a few minutes and then realized how funny I wasn't cold when I was not aware of being cold.
Yeah.
So it's just such a fascinating kind of a thing that what factors are going into that experience of being cold or being in pain or being whatever.
Oh my gosh, I know. I just go to the experience of like being in just like the throes of distress and ego and I'm just whining and moaning and groaning and crying and then, it's time for a coaching call. And I get you know, and it's like a totally disidentified place.
Yeah.
And then it's like, well, no, I don't really need to go back there.
Yeah.
Wow. It is so fun to see all these things. And now just applying it to the physical body, I mean, just like applying it to everything.
Well, the other one that is you were saying that dropped in was kind of what we were looking at with Rich, too, which is that how critical that being right here part of the program is.
Mm-hmm.
To really, because we have this human in our care, in a sense. So there you are, you have this really intense headache. You're looking at the afternoon. And the only way that this person is going to get taken care of is for you to have your attention here in the present moment.
Yeah.
So to really be looking at, okay, where is this coming from, right?
Yes.
So because there could be a really, quote, logical, you know, let's lie down. I mean, this is really intense. Let's take care of her.
Yeah.
Or, no, you can't lie down. You've got work meditation. People are counting on you, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
You know, either way is going to be one side of reality or the other. But to really, really tune in and listen, what's the best for all?
Exactly. And because not participating in the work had to be on the table as a possibility.
Exactly.
It all has to be on the table. Like, I'm open for anything that takes care of everyone.
Of everyone, exactly.
And, you know, and yes, exactly. And the thing is, there's one last little big kind of piece that is dropping in, is that life is just infusing information and assistance and insight all the time. Mm-hmm. So recently, I was looking at this workbook thing in that we're doing as a part of a retreat, and it suggested a certain exercise program that included some core work. Mm-hmm. And I had done Pilates for years before I moved here, and I have really strong core and all of that, and so I just thought I'm fine in that area. Well, when I went to do some sit-ups and push-ups, it was like, holy cow, when did my core degenerate like this? Uh-huh. You know? And so it was like I was, because you know, we have real physical lives. What, you know, I'm sure there are things taken care of. Yeah. But I wasn't. Yeah. And so it was time to strengthen that, which I was really oblivious to until that little information drops in. So and so it's all part and parcel of what you're just saying, of staying here to be available for all those pieces of information.
Yep.
Because I could have just as easily just like, oh no, I can't take myself out of working meditation. We got a retreat next week and we got to, no, everything's got to be on the table. Yeah. Even the possibility of, oh, I need to rebuild this. I can't, you know, I can't just, you know, assume basically it's what it is.
Yeah. Boy, that's so interesting. Yeah. I mean, right. And so there's a way in which what's best for all, that's such a good example of it, is to strengthen this core.
Yes.
It's not just mine.
Exactly.
It's not just for me.
Right.
Right?
Exactly. I mean, there is no me, getting back to the original point of no identity is.
Yeah. Wow, it's far reaching.
It is. Yeah. Very expansive. Thank you.
Penny.
A couple things that's really fun. I was thinking about in the Landmark program years ago, mm-hmm. and they said when you have a headache, move into the headache. Mm-hmm. And I remember when hearing that, I thought that's the dumbest thing I ever heard. And then had the experience of working here when we were building Sherry's Hermitage at the time, and I got this terrible headache, and I just moved into the headache, and suddenly I realized at some point it was gone. Wow. It was amazing.
Right.
I can't say I've been successful at it much since. Mm-hmm. I haven't had any headaches since, but I mean, what an interesting way to, because what we want to do is run away, of course.
Right, and then the old, you know, adage of what we resist persists.
Right.
So to go right into the middle of it.
Yeah. And the other thing about, you know, sort of assuming anything about the body, and you know, so I've taken care of my core, say. So I do these, you know, these really intense gym classes 3 days a week, and then on Mondays I've started yoga. And when I first started yoga, I would go and I would think, oh, piece of cake.
That's,
and then the next day I wake up and I think, oh my God, I can't get out of bed. And I really got a whole different exercise, whole different set of muscles.
Exactly.
It was so interesting, and you know, we don't take care of everything by anything. You know, it's all is available to be taken care of by something else. So that was really... That was an eye-opener, and it's very fun to look at. But I was wanting to look at, actually today, what I've been looking at today, in the last few days, is I feel like last Sunday there was this great lesson provided by these two dogs. Mm-hmm. And I keep coming back to these two dogs because...
So down on the property, just before crew, right, these two stray dogs from the neighborhood show up. They're pretty dirty and pretty crazy. And
don't respond to things like come, go, go.
Doing their own thing, bounding around.
That's right. So I was just looking at all the assumptions that rose for me in that incident. First was I came in and I thought I knew whose dogs they were. So I said, well, I've encountered those dogs before and they're a pain and all that. I'm not sure they were those same dogs. Uh-huh. That was the first thing that was interesting. Uh-huh. But the second thing that occurred to me as I was walking home and recording about it was that it was, and that was the day I said, you know, that the reading was about chaos. We live in chaos.
Yeah.
So the next thing that occurred to me is that life really has a sense of humor about that, because I had come down thinking, well, and how I come down knowing what was going to happen.
But not thinking I know, right? I know what's going to happen. It's all invisible.
That's right. And we're going to go in and sit down. There's going to be group, and then there were these dogs, and walking home and realizing that I had been seeing them as a problem, as a pain in the neck, as a disruption, mm-hmm. and getting it, they're just dogs doing what they do.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like group was supposed to happen at a certain time for me.
Yes.
It wasn't like that. Right. Only up here was it like that.
That's right.
What happened was there were dogs. And then what happened was well, that maybe it'd be helpful to help walk them back partway up the hill, and then somebody else drove them up the hill. And to get it, that's all that happened, and nothing was disrupted, has just been like a mind blower for me.
Yeah. And the only thing that was disrupted is
was
that
my expectation.
Invisible assumption, my invisible expectation, exactly.
Yeah. That was just, that's been so helpful. And then I had another experience a little like that. You know, there's this woman named Byron Katie who does a process called The Work that's somewhat similar to group and mm-hmm. or to practice. And I was listening to a recording of her years ago, and she's talking about being in the moment. She was talking about how you brew a cup of tea. Mm-hmm. You put the tea bag in, and then you take the tea bag out, and you have no idea what's going to happen next. And I remember thinking, oh, for Pete's sake, of course you know what's going to happen next. You're going to pick up the cup of tea and drink it. You know, and I just couldn't relate. Duh. So the other day...
What's the sound of one hand clapping, right?
The other day, I put out, during the night, one of our cats got restless, so I put out a bowl of food for her on the corner of the couch. She's an old cat. She sleeps on the couch. And put it in the couch, you know, inside in the corner. And so I went to pick up the bowl, and as I was picking it up, I nicked the corner, and kibble, you know, just flew on the floor and down on the couch and on the couch. I thought, this is what she needs.
Exactly. That's so great.
It was so great. You know?
And isn't that,
I just had to laugh. You know?
Yeah. And just that whole process itself is so fun. That years ago you read this thing,
mm-hmm.
right? And there's sort of this, oh, I mean, come on, give
yeah.
me a great reaction to it. But yet somewhere in awareness, that's being held as a koan.
Apparently.
With right, exactly. Apparently, we're not even aware of it, right? Uh-huh. It's just so Sherry's thing of just show up and it's mm-hmm. all happening.
Yep.
And then years later, this thing happens, a relatively, you know, whatever, small little thing, and that teaching comes back.
That's right. That's right. And there was just a sense of actually delight at just how it just blew all my, you know, it blew all my knowing about what was going to happen when I picked up that.
Yeah, book. That's not what was next.
That was not what was next. And I don't always respond that way when things aren't as I think they're going to be, but it was nice to have, it was delightful to have that moment of just thinking it's funny.
Yeah.
It's just funny.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
Right, because we often don't have that reaction.
Right.
Right? Because, I would project, we're in that expectation.
Absolutely.
We're not here. We're in the next thing, right? So we're partway to the kitchen with the, or wherever the cat food goes.
Right. And I think, you know, I think I'd sort of gotten it that, like, what I think is going to happen today or tomorrow may not happen.
Uh-huh.
But what I really got was in the instant.
In the instant.
We never know.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
that's the cup of tea thing. In the instant, we never know.
In the instant, we never know.
No.
We truly don't. It reminds me of what we sometimes talk about when we enter the meditation hall and bow. I have no idea where I'm going to sit.
Yeah, it's true.
I truly don't know it. I had the experience the other day where I just started walking and then just stopped short. Oh, I guess I'm sitting here. I mean, as if something stopped me at that cushion. I don't know. I had no idea I was going to sit there.
No.
Okay.
There's one other thing I just wanted to report back on. I talked about this in the group a couple weeks ago, that I was invited to this party.
Uh-huh.
It was the end of the Summer Whites party.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked about how... it was a crowd of people with whom I don't normally mingle,
mm-hmm.
and I don't have summer whites. and so when the invitation came, I thought, I've got to go to this party. Because, you know, I have a whole identity around this is not my kind of thing.
Yeah, don't
I don't dress right for these. I don't know how to behave at these.
Yeah.
So I wore my entire summer whites wardrobe, which is one shirt. It's white. And then the rest of the stuff was colored. And had a great time. Had a great time, walked around, talked to people, introduced myself.
Uh-huh.
And of course they're very nice people.
Yes.
And it was just so much fun to just step out of that place that I have been socially, you know, in my mind all my life.
Yeah.
And just walk into a whole different setting, and it was, you know, in the grounds of this, what I would call a mansion.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just fun.
Wow.
Yeah, it was great. And I knew, you know, I knew it would be. I knew it would be.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And that's why I think I decided to go. I think I knew that I'm just trapped in this thing, and I don't need to be.
Right. I'm trapped in this thing, I don't need to be. I didn't make it up. Those aren't my beliefs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It really has nothing to do with me.
Right. And it was even if I do make social faux pas, which I always expect I'm going to, it's going to be okay. And of course, in fact, it wouldn't even, It wasn't even a faux pas to make. I mean, it was fine.
Well, exactly. That's what I was looking at. Yeah. That faux pas is going to happen up here.
Right.
In that conversation.
Yeah.
And if that's not on my radar, then, you know, it's what Sherry will talk about. Then even if that does happen, I won't notice. Mm-hmm. Because I just, it's not what's going on for me.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Scott.
Boy, it's helpful to listen to others. You can just feel the awareness expand mm-hmm. around just that physical pain issue, especially. I was just seeing that forming of identity. Mm-hmm. And it just feels like, it's like we're going along and the illusion of a separate self is just there, waiting for anything that's going to come up to... form out of nothing,
yeah.
An imaginary something,
yeah.
And just taking anything,
yeah.
You know, any thought that comes in, any sensation,
yeah.
You know. And I was just seeing, I've had some back issues myself around, and it's associated with sleeping, and anyway, it was rough for a while, and then it got a lot better, and then last night it was kind of rough again. And I didn't even realize how much conversation there was about that going on, kind of just like...
Oh, you mean today?
Today, this morning, you know, until someone started talking about it. It's like, hey, over here, in like the, you know, seventh row over somebody's like seat 12, they're just...
quietly.
Yeah, yeah, just, you know, just talking about it. And it's the same thing with, I had a foot injury 3 years ago, and that's actually gotten a lot better. But occasionally, it's like, there has to be something going on for it to talk about.
Yes.
And physical is just really believable, I guess, because,
yeah.
You know, I can feel it. It's happening.
Right.
But what I don't see is all the conversation and story around it.
Yeah.
And essentially what it's doing is creating a me.
Yes.
And, you know, it's one of those things where somebody asks, you're talking about something and they're asking you about it. And so then if you did that, then what would happen? Well, but then, so if that happened, then what would, and then after a while you realize, well, but then I wouldn't be me.
Yeah.
You know, and that's kind of...
going to come down to some version of that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that, I just was seeing how often that happens with physical...
Yeah.
Well, if that was... I mean, something has to be going on, or who would I be?
Right. Right. Yeah, gosh. And that critical piece of becoming aware of it. Mm-hmm. You know, when you were talking about that seventh row, you know, down in the middle of the I just had that image of when, you know, being in an environment where there's a noise in the background, but it's so constant...
Yeah.
That I'm not aware of the impact it's having until suddenly it cuts off.
Yes.
And then you realize, wow.
Yeah.
Woo. And so to
you can almost feel like the body relax, like there's some tension.
The whole system
is
in relationship with that. It's fighting against it, but not realizing it.
Yeah.
So
that's
what
a really good image.
What a gift to come into group and to have that, oh my gosh, there's this thing happening in the background
mm-hmm.
that the whole system is in relationship to, but I didn't even realize that.
Yeah. So I didn't realize this, or it fits into a practice I've been doing that I did realize I was doing, but I didn't see exactly how that was working. So the other thing I love about listening to people is just how we inspire one another.
Yeah.
So I think Tony was on Open Air a while ago talking about doing 90 days of two-handed recordings. It's sort of like, wow, that's great. That's really amazing you're doing that.
Yeah, that's great, Tony. Go for it.
Like, there's no...
Good luck with that.
There's no really checking in. Like,
yeah.
You know. Even though... Yeah, anyway. And then I heard someone else talking about it, which is revolutionary to me. And they said... So they're doing it too. And they said, well, I just made the... From the right hand, here's what's going on, da-da-da-da. And we'll listen back later. And it was like, you can do that?
Wait, that's not a manual.
Which, realize there is a standard. Like, you've got to cut, you know, you've got to have at least 10 minutes of time. And you've got to be able to relax and sit down and have it be quiet.
Right.
And maybe even sit on the cushion, you know. And then, it was like, wow, you can do that. So then, I was going through a wrestling match with ego, and contrasted was just a beautiful practice weekend last weekend,
mm-hmm.
and just having a lot of support and a lot of willingness to
mm-hmm.
participate.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like, what the heck? I'm doing that. You know, it was just like a combination of being inspired plus I'm just sick of that.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm going to do it 90 days, two-handed recordings.
Yeah.
And it's just completely changed my life.
Yeah.
And the way that it's been really, I just saw it was really changing my life. is that when those things come up, mm-hmm. those little conversations about yeah. this or that, yeah. where before it was like, I'll deal with that later, or just yeah. a shoving down or yeah. a covering over or a coping, mm-hmm. now it's like, well, I know I'm going to do those two-handed things. Might as well do it now.
This is perfect. Yeah. What is this? Thanks for the material.
Exactly. Exactly. And I don't know, I mean, just so amazing the permission that it gives. Uh-huh. Like, those things, because that's what happens when I make commitments, like, that's what we're going to do.
Right.
There's no, and that's been a training.
Yeah.
There's no real conversation about that, but it's just like, well, this is, sounds like a good place to do it then.
Right.
And it's just been giving me that out of that hook over and over again. And, you know, sometimes I do more than two a day.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, but just that, and then I didn't even, it's really highlighting how often there's been that identity maintenance going on mm-hmm. when I don't take that out.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
it's really highlighting that process.
Yeah. Again, it's doing the same thing it sounds like group did for you this morning, mm-hmm. which is taking those things that are running in the background right. that are having an impact.
Yes. Right?
And it's bringing them forward so that you can actually see them.
Yeah. And it's breaking. The other thing I had been talking about for a long time is just kind of, it's a self-hating process, but getting into these kind of addictive behaviors, which is part of just the maintenance.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And again, it's really helpful. So when that voice starts to come up, well, why don't we just da-da-da, why don't we go ahead and look up that thing on the, I got another 200 recording I need to do. And I'm out of
maybe that. Later.
Yeah.
Right? Which knowing, it's such an Aikido move on the human's part, knowing there's no way exactly. after the 200 recording
exactly.
I'm going to go do that addictive behavior.
Exactly.
But it's such a cool little move to go, yeah, well, maybe, but we'll maybe. See. Let's do this first.
But first
let's
I have this see. Commitment that I'm going to do, and this seems like a good time. Yeah. And
you know, it's sort of like, I really want to eat ice cream. Great, let's eat ice cream, but first let's do yoga.
Yeah.
Right? And after the yoga, it's like, no, I love the ice cream.
I'm good, because the ultimate need is exactly. that he wants to be present.
Yeah.
And that's what it brings me to each time.
Exactly.
Even before I go through, I mean, even if it is just I just got to get this out, I'll listen
yeah.
to it later.
Yeah.
Gosh, I mean, a lot of times it just brings me right here just to
yeah.
say what's going on.
Exactly.
Because there's I can feel the release, but there's also a witnessing,
yeah.
you know, and there's like, well, I wasn't aware that was going on and in that way.
Yes.
You know, it's always kind of couched as something else.
Yeah.
But it's like, wow, that's kind of mean.
Yes.
You know,
exactly.
like, oh, okay,
right.
we don't want to do that.
Right.
And I'm back here.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
when I'm back here, right, I don't have a desire to go do the thing that said I needed to do to help me feel better about the thing that it was doing to me.
Exactly. And, you know, as you're describing it, Scott, the other thing I'm reminded of that is my experience is that when there is that commitment and over time like that and something that happens daily, it's what, you know, I think there's a workshop at Center today about this very thing. It helps uh-huh. us to see the undulations
yeah, exactly.
and to not take that personally,
yeah.
right? So if I'm doing this for 90 days, I'm going to see it all. So some days it's going to be like, wow, this is great. It's really having a transformative effect. Other days it's going to be like, okay, number two. You know, it's just, you're going to see all of it going on
yeah.
with all of those up, quote ups and quote downs and...
Well, what's fun about that, actually, when you say that, is the mentor has been starting to connect some of the process points
uh-huh.
going on. And then, you know, and they're often just pretty short replies, but they're just
yeah.
little nuggets.
Yeah.
And then they go on a little mix that I get to listen to.
Yeah.
So it starts to highlight the, you know, I can
yeah.
hear some of the content that reminds me about what it was.
Yeah.
But really what's being highlighted are those little undulations and process points.
Yes.
And then I'm listening to that.
Yes.
You know, and then I'm being trained to notice that more quickly rather than what goes on a lot of times, which is there's a conversation going on. I'm not really aware, and I'm essentially coping and being directed by that.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And believing that and sort of being in relationship with
yeah.
that instead of, oh, okay, right, so this is part that this is what happens here. And yeah,
yeah.
fine.
And just that real clear awareness from the practice that you handed, I don't have to do that. I don't have to be in that.
Exactly.
You know, and a lot of times it could just be a little something, like a phrase that it says to me a lot, or it could be a little mm-hmm. tension somewhere.
Yeah.
And I don't need to know anything else about it.
Right.
It's whoosh, on the recorder.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on, but something's here.
Yeah.
You
this
know?
Is familiar.
This is familiar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's so good. Thank you.
Well, as usual, so much.
Yeah.
That's everything everybody said.
Yeah.
I just briefly, I you know, had that experience of going at the end of the day yesterday, going back to my hermitage, and that pull to do something, to extractive because I deserved a break.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, you know? It's true. We don't have television.
We don't have
really
television, but we can work something up.
Right.
You know? And,
I mean,
and, you know,
just to fix my watch.
Exactly.
I mean, it could be anything.
You know, it could be anything. And, I, you know, just the benefit of practice to notice, okay. So I got out my recorder and say, you know what, I notice there's a wanting to go to distraction, to just, you know, have a break.
Yeah.
And realizing that's not a break.
Exactly.
And, you know, to just really making that decision to just care for
yes.
the human being and not go for the
right.
bait
yes.
again and again.
Yeah.
yeah.
Not go for the bait where the voice is going to have the, you know, respite
mm-hmm.
from me paying
mm-hmm.
attention
mm-hmm.
and sort of gather its strength back
yeah.
up. And truly to realize at the end of it, I don't feel regenerated
yeah,
by that.
Yeah.
I don't feel happier. I don't
yeah.
feel, it's not what happens at the end of that.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's just a little happy dance to,
yes, exactly.
to catch that and
yeah.
to choose other, you know,
yeah, it's so huge.
Other really kind things.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so much. I wanted to talk a little bit about Cantalumba.
Mm-hmm.
We had our last call yesterday, mm-hmm. and it's really hard to imagine that being the last call.
I'm quite certain it won't be.
You know, it's just so, I mean, I feel so engaged in a way that even I've gone there, you know,
right.
but just that regular
yeah.
Interaction with folks. I mean, gosh, we got to know what happens with the
exactly.
exams, and we got to know.
Yeah,
that's what
we were talking about on the support call yesterday.
Yeah.
Someone was saying, now I know them, so it's now I'm going to want to know. How did
exactly.
Sylvia do on her exam?
Right,
how did
you know, yeah.
yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I was so moved with Regina. And what a beautiful woman.
She really is, isn't she?
Just a beautiful, beautiful woman.
Oh.
And you know, one of the things that so moved me was we're asking her to tell her story.
Yeah.
And she keeps just giving the story of gratitude.
Right.
You know, and it's like, lesson there, you know, because if I've been, you know, if someone asked me to tell this my story, I can give you a whole long,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
scenario,
yeah.
and you know,
yeah. yeah, and what she didn't say was not all of her children are living.
Uh huh. Right.
Every single one of those, I you know, we've talked about this some, but every single woman in that cooperative has lost children,
mm-hmm.
except for Joanne. We ran out of time, but we'll talk to Joanne the next time we're on. She also has an amazing story. We saw Karen, who is her oldest daughter. She has four children, and they're all living, and they've all been born since Living Compassion started.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. But yes, Regina has lost children.
Wow. You know, and just her dignity and beauty.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I'm just watching that, and, you know, every time I go to the Cantalumba call, just this wave of emotion comes up.
Mm-hmm.
And I was listening to recordings last night, and something came through, and I also, this has happened too, when folks come back from Cantalumba
mm-hmm.
to the monastery,
mm-hmm.
at my first seeing them, I feel like crying,
uh-huh.
you know, it just
uh-huh.
comes up so intense, I just want to
yeah.
sit down and weep.
Wow.
And the only thing, I mean, you know, of course, what does this all mean? You
right,
know,
right,
I mean,
right.
It means nothing, I guess, you know. But the closest I can see to it is this, you know, it's just this deep desire to love in that way.
Yeah.
You know, what I see mirrored
yeah.
with these people in that project
yeah.
of that just open-hearted love
yeah.
That's not... yeah, it's just not seized by conditioning, and
uh-huh.
you know that. Well, you can't do that. That's you know,
that's
what do people think, or you
yeah.
know, or you know, what if they don't? What if it's not received?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
in a certain way.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And just to see, I don't know, just to to vibrate with that, yeah. with that that unconditional love,
yes.
and that just going to that place of that's how I, you know,
yeah.
it's Catalumba here, but boy, God help me to be that way everywhere.
Right, right.
Everywhere.
Well, and it sounds like, you know, getting to, you know, being on those video calls, or even when someone comes back from having been there, that emotion, you know, perhaps being that opening of really feeling that, you know, feeling that unconditional love that you're projecting onto mm-hmm. onto the folks there, onto the project, onto the process of transformation.
Yeah, it's really, I mean, you know, we say that we have not gone there. I mean, I can't remember how exactly, but your transformation is bound up with
right.
my own.
Right. If you're coming here because you think there's something
wrong.
Or something to fix,
right.
it's a whose quote is that? I think it's a. I can't remember. Maybe
yeah.
it's an anonymous. Anyway. Anyway, something, I think it's from someone who is indigenous to a culture where, you know, sort of that
mm-hmm.
dynamic. People
right.
come to help us out
yeah.
and they're going to help.
Right.
So that sense of if you've come here to fix something because
mm-hmm.
something's wrong,
mm-hmm.
then there's really no point. But
yeah.
if you come here because your salvation is bound with
mine,
let's
exactly.
work together. Let's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just having that seems to be that deep experience of, my salvation being bound, and
yes.
myself, and them being, them opening the door to salvation in a way that I couldn't have seen
yes.
happening.
Yes.
You know, because
yeah. Gosh, that's well put.
Yeah.
yeah. What I saw when you said that was almost like the gift of the projection, because
mm-hmm.
that's. What I'm projecting onto this experience, onto this project, onto is opening that door for me that's so difficult for me to access.
So, yeah, so difficult.
It's not that it's not there. It's
right.
not that it isn't who I
right.
am.
Right.
It's just that it's hard to access it.
Yeah, that's, yes, that's it, exactly, you know. And it's probably some of the pain of accessing that and knowing it's there to be expressed and seen. The results of that constant shutting down of it, or you know, just
yeah,
yeah putting
exactly.
the brakes on it.
Exactly.
And that's a painful place.
Yes, it is.
And to
yeah. which could be some of where that emotion comes from.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Gosh, when it's released,
yeah,
it's such a relief.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. 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 Yeah, so yeah, that's really helpful. I've been sitting with that with, you know, it's kind of a call. I'm like, what's the, you know? It's just really interesting to see. And it seems somehow bound up too with Thursday night we were talking about the one thing I really took from the group was being in activity without thought of outcome,
yeah.
which just was like, I know I've probably heard that before, but it was like one of those like, oh, hit me upside the head again, you
yeah.
know.
Yeah.
What would it be like just to live with thought of every action and not for the outcome of that action? But, you know.
Well, it is one of those things that it's like, oh yeah, that's a great idea. Kind of
yeah.
like the two-handed recording
right.
every day. Yeah,
yeah,
great idea.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's hugely revolutionary
mm-hmm.
because it's so ingrained. Why else would I walk down to the computer and sit there
mm-hmm.
and do the, I mean, I'm going to answer emails. That's, right? That's what, so truly to bring that, you know, the other side of duality would be, you know, so who cares?
Right.
The inbox, right?
Right?
I'm just gonna sit and but to walk through our days
yeah.
in activity
yeah.
without the outcome being the point is
right.
it's almost, at least for me, too hard to imagine.
Exactly.
It's so opposite from what we've been trained to do.
So opposite. And just, I mean, you know, a place I go with it is yeah, well, you know, just life animating, what is it, how is life moving in this moment?
Yeah.
I'm willing.
Yes.
You know, I'm willing to offer the vehicle for that.
Exactly.
And
yes.
And just, I don't know.
That's it.
I don't know what you've got in mind here, but
no.
But you know, and just enjoying the process of it.
Yeah.
And
so I just went to our recent experience yesterday, cleaning. Right? Mm-hmm. And so there we are, cleaning hermitages. And what I just saw when you said that was, you know, the conditioned approach is I'm cleaning this hermitage. But right now, I'm running the rag along the edge of the baseboard.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And the care and attention. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. But that's kind of it. That's all the practice right there.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The diligence it takes to actually keep our attention right here with this thing.
And as the guide has pointed, I mean, just one of the most, one of the most important teachings for me in my whole practice is that I'm not doing it. I'm doing it for that sill.
Exactly.
You know.
That's right.
And I too went into clean some rooms into just that is just so. You know. Okay.
Here we go.
We got first we've got X number of time, and if I get it done in this time, then I can get the, you know.
Yeah. Fit this in and fit that in.
Fit that in.
And you know, it's so cruel to this person.
It is. It is because the joy is.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to put. I'm going to handle the sheep for the sheep.
Yes.
You know, it just feels so good.
It does. And on a moment by moment basis, I get to have that experience versus that 1 minute of reward when I finished it quickly, so now I can go on to the next thing, and then
just so sucky.
It is.
I mean, literally.
The other thing I just said as you were saying that is that if the attention is truly with the sheep, then life is going to keep informing what's now, right? After the sheep is going to come the and then the vacuum, and then the, and it's not going to happen, quote, slowly, necessarily. It's just, if we're right here, it's just going to happen.
Yeah.
And then what we're going to be left with is a sparkling dorm room.
Yeah.
Because that's how life does that, with that care and attention.
Yeah.
So we don't have to be watched and be, you know, have that taskmaster in order to, quote, achieve the result. But the result will absolutely be there.
Yeah.
Assuming we live through that moment. Right?
And I just see, without the outcome. And I realized that, you know, having to going all the time with the outcome in mind is what makes it so annoying when people come in and mess up the thing that it's the only way to do cleaning.
Yes.
It's the only way.
Because the other ways you hate the spiders.
Right.
By the time you're down here,
how they make
a way back there. Right?
Yeah.
And it's the sand mandala story.
Absolutely.
Right? Where the monks were making that beautiful, spent days and days and days and days on the sand mandala, and then the soldiers march through, and everyone's horrified, and the monks are laughing.
Wow. So just keep loving without outcome, and
Which, tying it back to Pantalumba, I think, boy, that's a huge lesson there.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because that, I mean, losing Ethel.
Right. We don't know.
Surely don't know.
What outcome of any of this. Yeah. But, I mean, it's been my experience that the love part of it is like, that's what the heart knows and wants